Again, it's so good to worship together, and I know it's interesting that we're having to do it virtually, but we trust that the Lord is going to use this time to strengthen your faith and to increase your trust in Him. That's my prayer, and I hope that's your prayer as well. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, we'll be in John 11, specifically verses 17 through 27 today. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can click on events, find Reservoir Church, and all the scripture and notes will be there for you as well. Now, we've arrived at the culmination of what is Holy Week, but for many of us, it's been really hard to connect to the buildup and the anticipation of these events that truly mean so much to us in the faith, that forever changed the course of history and eternity for us. And these events, though, still stand as life-altering moments that bring us back to the center of our faith. And so that's where we arrive here at Easter, getting our minds and our hearts centered again on the truth of the resurrection. Now, from a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus had experienced a very trying week. There was teaching, there was exhorting his disciples, preparing them for what life was going to look like after the events of this week. There would be a betrayal, there would be arrest, and then trials that would deliver the Holy One, the promised Messiah, over to crucifixion. He'd be nailed and hung on a cross to die for claiming his true identity and to solve the crisis of sin for all of humanity. In that moment, then, darkness fell. The earth shook. The rabbi was buried and his tomb was sealed. His followers grieved. They were numb by the shock of everything that had occurred, and they were unsure of what the future would hold. They stayed waiting. Then finally, on the third day, a couple of his disciples ran to an empty tomb, and Mary Magdalene approached where angels sat, and she wept because she was unsure of what she was beholding in the absence of her teacher, her friend, her Savior. One of them spoke, "Why are you weeping? They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have taken him." She would respond, "Whom are you seeking?" Comes another voice, a more familiar voice, and it's Jesus. He is alive. Everything changes from that moment. The weeping ceases, the wonder increases. For Mary and for the disciples and for us. Because a grave meant to keep the crucified Jesus instead birthed a kingdom. And this is Easter. But it's not just for us some sentimental marking of an old story. Because the resurrection actually matters for us today. And it is good news when we are so longing for good news. It's the truth that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now, to delve into why that truth is good, why the resurrection matters, we're going to rewind the story just a little bit to before Jesus's Holy Week and death on the cross and resurrection, to another famous resurrection, to hear the words of hope. We catch up in John 11, verses 17 through 27. And this is what John writes. "Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is you. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Well, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that has been proclaimed by your very lips to Martha and to us, that you are the resurrection and the life. Holy Spirit, we ask that today you would help us to understand the truth of that statement and why it matters for us, why it gives us power to carry on, while how it keeps us in the midst of difficulty. Open our hearts to hear your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So his friends had called for Jesus, right, to come, but he delayed. And that's what's going on in the story. And he delays so that God could be glorified. But then his friend Lazarus dies anyway. And finally, Jesus then comes to Bethany these 4 days later. And it's this village just outside of Jerusalem. And he comes into what is an environment that is a very contentious and dangerous situation. Because the Jews, the religious class, were seeking to stone Jesus, to kill him. He had called himself God just one too many times, and they were finding that their routine in the religious class was being spoiled by this teacher and his miracle working. But it was what Martha was feeling that I think opens the story to our experience in this moment on Easter morning. Her brother had died. He had been taken too soon, and it was a devastating loss. There was grieving. There was essentially like an asking why this injustice would happen to him, why this pain had to be experienced. And while we see in here a difficulty for us to read the tone of what Martha is saying to Jesus, her statement actually represents what is fairly confrontational, but in that confrontation, she also then makes a plea. She starts off by saying, if you had been here, essentially saying you were late, you could have solved this, you could have stopped this. She was aware of who Jesus was. She knew that he could perform miracles, that he had brought life to people before. And in this moment, Jesus didn't deliver like she wanted, and it hurts. But she also, at the same time, humbles herself, knowing who Jesus is, and she makes this plea, saying, whatever you ask from God, he will give you. So just like us, as the pandemic gets closer to home for us, some of us are grieving and we're asking for deliverance. And even on a national and global scale, we're asking the Lord to work to remove this sickness and free and heal people. So we're becoming familiar with this sense of unknown that Martha is experiencing in the story of John 11. And then into that pain, into that bewilderment, Jesus brings deliverance, and his response to Martha then reveals the redefining good news that we all need. It's that Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. He says to her, your brother will rise again. And there's the relief, isn't it? This is the answer that Martha longs for, but for her, it is clouded in some vague future hope far off. She knows that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day, she says. But Jesus' claim, this I am statement, brings the future hope to the present reality, and he's going to back it up with action. And so what does that mean, that he is the resurrection and the life? And that he would say, though he die, yet he shall live. Those that live and believe shall never die. One author says that I am the resurrection and life is a culmination of the unfolding revelation in the preceding chapters of John's gospel. Jesus has been revealed as the giver of life. He is the good shepherd who has come to give life to the full. And the life he brings is primarily eternal life, literally the life of the age, the life of the long-awaited kingdom of God. And Jesus now fills out these claims to their fullest proportion. The life he gives is nothing less than the indestructible life of the resurrection, the very life of the deathless God himself. Moreover, it's a gift here and now. For Martha, for Lazarus, and for us in the wake of Christ's resurrection. There's going to be immediate application then, isn't there, in John 11 for Lazarus? Because if you don't know the story or haven't heard it, Jesus will call his friend out of the grave. But here Jesus is also redefining life. He's defining kingdom life, bringing that future hope into the now. It's the truth that we are then united with him in his resurrection, as Romans 6 says. We're literally made part of him by his work, spiritually joined to Jesus, the one who is saying he is the resurrection and the life. This is gives us then all of his security, all of his righteousness, and all of his inheritance is made ours. And this is more than just a sustaining power for us. This is kingdom life. This is real life in him. It's something greater, friends, than merely a physical experience. This, Lazarus didn't live necessarily physically forever. I mean, he's going to die again, but he shall never die, because in Christ, the resurrection of Jesus, you gain the fullness of life that extends into eternity, whether you live or die. So Jesus then is also forecasting here in this declaration why his resurrection matters. Sam Alberry, who's a British pastor and author, he says that the Easter story isn't just what happened next to Jesus after his death. It doesn't just wrap up the story, it fulfills it. In fact, there really is no story without it. It's not just a matter of chronology, but theology, vital, glorious theology. Without it, we have nothing and are nothing. The resurrection saves us. Good Friday is no good at all without Easter Sunday. So it matters tremendously for us. It's the truth that Christ's resurrection means that his death on the cross was sufficient. Because he lives, his death accomplished the forgiveness of sins. We see it in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. It's not just for the church in Colossae. That's for us. That's who we were, dead in our sin. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. So our justification, our being made right before God, is tied to both the cross and the resurrection, so much so that if we have faith and it doesn't happen, if the resurrection doesn't happen, our faith is pointless. Paul will also write in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And that's why the resurrection matters. That's why Easter is so important to us, because it proves that the work on the cross is finished, that Jesus truly met the wrath of God for our sins. So the blood of Jesus actually saves us because he is alive. And his resurrection also proves that death is defeated once and for all. Because you may have heard that the wages of sin is death, and neither of these things were meant to exist, sin or death. And the fact that we as people are uneasy with death actually shows that internally we know more than we let on. Because it's something we're not meant to experience. We're not supposed to experience death, but the presence of death proves the reality of sin. Again, from Sam Alberry, he says, as we grasp the significance of death, we can start to see the significance of resurrection. Raising Jesus from the dead was not an arbitrary stunt by God the Father. It wasn't just a mega miracle to prove he is still there and still bigger, though that is true. No, the resurrection has meaning. The resurrection is the outworking and proof of our salvation, because death is the outworking and proof of our sin. Jesus' new life shows us the cycle of sin and death has finally been broken. There is new life to be had. Sin has been conquered. Hallelujah. Like if we were together in person, like I would demand that you say amen to that. And his resurrection not only proves that the forgiveness of sin is won, that death has been defeated, but it also then matters because it shows that the material world around us matters, that Jesus is working the renewal of dead things, restoration, reconciling all things to himself, giving us then as believers the expectation of a return to the garden right here. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not in fact just to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but instead to colonize earth with the life of heaven. And that, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer has us praying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So those united with Christ are now agents of reconciliation, living from and for him, stirring renewal of others and all things. Because Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. And this is not just something that happened to him. He is the resurrection. So resurrection can be known just as Jesus can be known. And this is meant to be then our spiritual experience in him. It's what keeps us through all of the grieving and the pleading. And it's tremendously good news. This is Easter for us. Because he is alive, we can face today. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Praise God for that. What's more, this resurrection is open to all. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he says, whoever believes, everyone who lives and believes in me. No one is too far, and it comes in the believing. So what does it mean for us to believe in Jesus? Well, we take him at his word. We know that he lived a perfect, obedient life for you, for me, that he died to satisfy wrath against our sin, that he truly walked out of the grave on Easter, that he's alive, that he is the way. And it's the question that he puts to Martha and to us. And you probably heard it and probably reacted to it when he said, do you believe this? It's the truth that the object of our belief is what matters, not how good we are at believing. Because Martha, having heard this tremendous truth from Jesus, is still just moments later going to caution him to not open Lazarus' grave because there might be a stink. Like, he's just explained, he's the resurrection and the life. Lazarus is going to rise again, and yet she cautions him. The truth is that we may cower in the face of death, but Christ doesn't, and that is enough to sustain us. Sometimes we don't believe enough, we don't live enough, but Jesus is enough, and therefore we believe and we live. Jesus, the object of our faith, is the resurrection in the life. He is the perfection that we need, and all who turn to him, all that believe, will have this life. The start of his ministry, he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And with faith in Jesus, we live. We really live anchored in him and secure. One writer says, resurrection life, which triumphs over death, is not confined to the distant future, but is present here and now in him who is the resurrection, the embodiment of the promised life and salvation of God. And to believe in Jesus means that death lies defeated. True, there may be a moment of physical dissolution, but in fact, that will not be death. It will not be the elimination of hope and the reduction of existence to mere shadowy beyond. For the believer, the present reality is the eternal life of God received through faith in Jesus. The present reality of eternal life at this very moment, it's what keeps us buoyant. It's what keeps us strong. It's what keeps us in the midst of a pandemic. Paul will write to the Thessalonian church, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. What he's saying is, whether we live or die, when you believe in Jesus, you live with him. And it is the life we are meant for. It is the place of transformation. It is the place of hope. It is the place of perseverance through all that comes our way. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So what do we do on Easter? Friends, believe. Believe that the cross is enough, that you are really forgiven, that this life is yours, that he is working renewal in the midst of chaos. It can be tremendously difficult for us to realize that in this moment, but God is furthering his purpose. He is calling people to himself and bringing himself glory. That is our good as well. So believe. Increase your faith and trust, because the resurrection is true. And then live with just an eternal resilience. Though we die, we live for the renewal of others and all things. Jesus is making a whole new world in which everything will be set right at last, and he has invited us into it. So live. This is us redefined, given new life, resilient life in Jesus. Charles Simeon, a great preacher, long ago wrote that if we believe in Christ and have through him the possession of spiritual and the prospect of eternal life, what cause can we have to complain? What cause to fear? The world will be divested of its allurements and its death of its terrors, satisfied that all events under the control of our best friend, we shall commit them cheerfully to his wise disposal, and looking forward to the day in which he will call us from our graves, we shall expect his summons with composure at least, if not also with holy impatience. Let us then live by faith in our divine Savior, assured that he will keep us unto eternal life and exalt us both in body and soul unto the everlasting enjoyment of his presence and glory. You see, Simon Peter and the other disciple looked into the tomb. There were lying linen cloths, but the tomb was empty. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Take joy and confidence in him. Happy Easter. Jesus, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. That your resurrection matters because it proves your work on the cross was sufficient. That you, in fact, defeated death once and for all, and that all of this matters to you. That you are working renewal and restoration, the advancement of your kingdom for your glory and our good. Lord, on this Easter, we come again with repentant hearts, surrendering ourselves to you and to your finished work. Increase our faith in you because of the resurrection. Lord, make our hearts new for those that will trust in you for the first time today at this very moment, and surround us with your love by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we would know it to be true and live for your glory. We love you and we thank you for Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.